The more that we discover Him, the more that we come to know Him, the greater the freedom we experience. Our problems and are based upon our perspective, really. We have to change perspectives. We need the mind renewed, amen, in Christ. And so the more that we receive and the more God reveals Himself to us, the less opportunity the enemy has to camp out in our thought life. The enemy can only dwell in darkness where there's a lack of light. Evil is really the absence of light, if you think about it. The enemy cannot camp out in someone who is full of the light. He has no place. He had no place in Jesus. There was no sin in Jesus. Amen? And He gave no place to the devil. He walked in full obedience to the Father. So, again, we can't be full of ourselves and full of Jesus at the same time. So we've got to forget about us. Amen? Put us aside and say, Lord, I want You instead. The life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave Himself for me. Paul said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ. In other words, the life we're to live is now from that new birth, from that place of intimacy with Christ. That's the life we now walk, the life we live. We walk in the Spirit now. We have the option every day to choose whether we're going to obey Him or not, or walk with Him. But it never works out when we listen to that other voice. Amen. God wants His people to be full of Himself and not full of ourselves. So if we are full of ourselves, we're not going to have capacity for Him. What does that mean? It means that I deny myself, right? Jesus said it. If you're going to come after Me, you have to deny yourself. And that word deny means to what? Utterly disown. I'm under new ownership. Most of us, if not all of us here tonight, I trust, have said, Jesus, You can have me. You can have my life. I give You me. And God says, okay, wonderful. I've been waiting for You to yield Your life to Me. He won't take it from you. He won't make you obey. He says, I'm just waiting for you to yield your life to Me. Now, You said that I could have You, right? And you say, yes, Lord, You can have me. Okay. Well, we're going to go through a process together, a preparation for the beautiful future and the hope that I have for you. And along the road, along that walk, there are going to be some difficulties. You're going to find yourself in places you've never been before. You're going to be facing things that you've never faced before. Things that are greater than you are. Problems that are bigger than you are. But it's in those places that you will see My power, My glory. You will see that I will, just as I promised, never leave you or forsake you. And so if we really mean, God, You can have me, how many know that God doesn't reject those who give themselves to Him? If that is true, then whatever is happening in your life right now, whatever is happening in your life right now as a child of God is happening right there, where? In the palm of His hand. God's not up there saying, now, what just happened? I missed that. Did something happen that I didn't know about? He knows all about it. I don't know about you, but there's been times I've wondered, God, are You there? Have You seen what just happened? God, that's not fair. What happened to Jesus on the cross was not fair. But for the love and the joy set before Him, because He loved, He gave Himself away for us. Did we really mean it when we say, God, You can have me? You can have my life. Because we say that, and then when God begins to allow a process to develop us and to prepare us and equip us for what he has, sometimes we begin to complain about it. How many realize that when you go through things, God's watching? That God knows all about it. Even when things happen to you that are not fair, God is watching to see how we will respond to what happens to us. Not so much of God, you saw what they did, what they said. No, God's saying, how did you respond to that? Can I trust you with greater riches? Are you mature enough now to handle what I want to give you? Wow. How many want God to anoint you for greater things? Yeah. Amen? Did we mean business when we said, God, you can have my life? Yeah? We'd say yes. Well, maybe at the time I did. Sometimes we try to take ourselves back, you know. Well, God, I want you, but I only want you to this degree. And you know, sometimes we've just got our foot over the threshold. And we're kind of sampling things and we're playing around with it, you know. And we get a few blessings here and there. And yeah, that's kind of good. But boy, there's some other things in there that I'm just not so sure of. And it looks a little scary because I'm just used to saving me and taking care of me and being on the throne of my own life and being in control of what I do. And you know, and I don't want anybody else to tell me what to do, especially if I don't know if I can really trust them. And God is saying, I want you to take that step all the way over into me, to lose your life. Because Jesus says, if you lose your life for my sake in the gospel, you will find it. What? Natural man doesn't understand that. I couldn't understand that. I'm getting to know what that means. How about you? Amen. By the Spirit of God. When I disown myself, that means I'm under new ownership. He owns me. He's trustworthy. I can trust him no matter what. When it's convenient and when it's not, I still trust him. When it feels good and when it doesn't feel good, I still trust him. I know God is good. The devil wants us to question God's goodness. God's not really good. Adam, Eve, God's not really good. He's holding out on you. He wants us to question, doesn't he? Question God's intentions, God's goodness, God's trustworthiness. And so in order for us to get into the inheritance, into the blessing that God has for us, we have to go through a process of preparation so that we will mature and be able to carry and to do effectively the will of God for our lives. We have to be able to carry, amen, what God calls us to do. We have to be in position to receive from God. And if we're immature, and sometimes we want what God has, but we don't want the process to get into position for God to bless us. And so many people are content just to kind of sit soak and sour. Just do my little Christianese thing on Sunday morning, punch the clock, you know. Well, me and the man upstairs have a good arrangement here. 99% me, 1% him. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, utterly disown himself. You want to know joy? Your joy is in him. You want to know real peace? Your peace is going to be in him. I've got a message tonight, and some of you are here this morning. I'm going to go to part two, and I'm going to have to quickly rehash some of the things as we get into that place. But please listen, give ear, because I believe if you will receive this word tonight, it will change your life. It will change you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, you breathe upon your word tonight, God, that you will impart into us, Lord, the truth. Lord, dispel the lies. Deliver us from deception. Lead us into all truth in Jesus' name. God wants to reveal himself to us. God wants us to know what he's really like. Everybody has an opinion of God. But God wants us to know what he's really like. And you will come to know what he's really like through the revelation he's given to us in his word, as his Holy Spirit teaches us. Sometimes what we plan is not what God has planned. In fact, probably more often than not, what I plan is not what God planned. God has a better plan for our lives. Would you agree with that? We can all say amen, right? And sometimes God interrupts our plans so that he can reveal to us his better plan. See, this is the thing, is sometimes sometimes we may think that our plan is better than God's plan. But God's plan is superior to our plan. It's eternal. The will of God is eternal. And Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21 says, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. The New Living Translation says, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. In the Amplified, it says, I know the thoughts and plans I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. Hope in your final outcome. Hope in your final outcome. It's the space in between. The difficulties that we face. God promises in Romans 8:28, what? To work all things together for good to them that love the Lord and those who are called according to his purpose. God interrupted Noah's schedule and called him to build the ark, remember. He interrupted Abraham, called him to leave everything that was familiar to him and to go into a strange land. God was going to make him a father of many nations. God interrupted David when he was tending sheep. And he brought him out of what was also familiar to take him into further training. He had been in training while he was tending his father's sheep. He was learning how to rule even in that situation as he killed the lion and the bear, remember. God was training him, amen, for warfare. And God was going to raise up this scruffy little kid to be king over Israel. But the process of him getting from being a shepherd boy to being a king was lengthy, and it was filled with trials and difficulties and hard times. And yet what God promised was so far superior to what he could have even imagined in his mind when he was out there tending sheep. The same thing is true with us. God has a way of interrupting our schedule, interrupting our lives. When we are bent on going a certain direction, doing a certain thing, God has a way of interrupting things because he wants to reveal to us his superior plan for our lives. To give us a future and a hope, to make it better in the end. Are you hearing me? And we can look at our lives and see all the things so far that we've gone through and overcome, and the difficulties and the hard times and the tragedies and all the things that life can be filled with. And we look at that, but we can look back and say, you know what? But God has been with me through it all. And I'm not the same person that I used to be. When I was a newborn, I thought I knew it all. You know, I was my spiritual teenager, you know. You can't tell me anything I already know. And so the Lord begins to turn up the heat. And he begins to bring a little more of the impurities to the surface. And we begin to see, whoa, I guess I'm not all that. I'm still full of me, a lot of me. I have the fire of God, I have the zeal of God, but there's still a lot of me in the way. I'm still really depending a lot on my own opinion, on my own agenda, on my own pride of what do people think about me? Do people recognize me? Do people see me? You know, working with the elderly, my wife and I, for 4 years, we discovered that most of the people, when they get to that age, what you see is what you get. They ain't trying to impress anybody anymore. Amen? They've gotten over themselves. Many of them. It's called growing up. It's called maturing. God called Esther to stop a genocide. Interrupted her plans. God interrupted Mary's plans. Called her to be the mother of Jesus. Amen? The pagan nations had esteemed that wealth and power, influence, military might, was a sign that you had favor from the gods, plural. Or maybe a god that they esteemed as their number one god. And so Israel, God raised up to reveal himself through to the nations that did not know him. He chose a people to reveal himself through. They were supposed to be a kingdom of priests to represent God, amen, and his kingdom on the earth. So the pagan nations around that didn't know God could look at Israel and say, that's what God's really like, or that's the Most High God. And so Israel had disobeyed God, they had sinned against God, and because of the fruit of their own doings, they ended up going into bondage. How many know that sin leads to bondage, right? And so because they had the Most High God, they knew their God was the superior God. He was the God of gods. He created all things, all angels, principalities, powers. God created it all. And yet now they're looking at poverty. Now they're being oppressed. Now they're in bondage. The Assyrians came in and took the northern kingdom, flattened everything. And then about 200 years later, the Babylonians came in and wiped out the southern kingdom and carried away the best of the young men, the cream of the crop, if you will, and brought them all into Babylon, into bondage. And you know what? How many realize that God allowed that to happen? And we're going to look at that, because when we look at Jeremiah 29:11, we need to look at the context from which that promise came. I know the thoughts that I have, declares the Lord, for you, right? Mm-hmm. Thoughts of peace, of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And so we need to understand the context from which that was given. It came by letter from the prophet Jeremiah. And so here Israel is upset because they were God's people. They were blessed. They were prospered, and now they find themselves in this situation that they've never been in. They'd never known this kind of enslavement before. And so now everything has changed. Nothing is familiar to them anymore. No one had planned that kind of future. And in Psalms 137, we see how they cried out in this place, this strange land, this foreign land where they were now under the oppression of the Babylonian Empire, King Nebuchadnezzar. And they said, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. Today it would be like hanging your guitar. For there those who carried us away captive asked us of a song, and those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Taunting them. And they said in verse 4, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? How many ever felt that way? How can I sing the song of the Lord where I'm at in my life? With all the things I'm dealing with all the problems I have, how can I sing the song of the Lord? How can we rejoice in such conditions? How many know that God never forgot them? God is a promise keeper. And then came the word of the Lord by letter from Jeremiah the prophet, saying, verse 4 of Jeremiah 29, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive. Listen, are you hearing? Whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses. Do we want to know the real God here? Not one of our own fashioning and our own imaginations, but the true God. Build houses, he said, and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives, beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And verse 7, what does he say? And seek the peace of the city. Everybody say, seek the peace of the city. Where I've caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it. For what? For Babylon. For in its peace, in Babylon's peace, you will have peace. Folks, do we understand that God has assigned us to live in such a place as this, in such a time as this, to be salt and to be light, to effect change, not to bow down, not to assimilate into the wickedness of this culture, but to be salt and light, to be representatives of the Most High God by the power of the Holy Spirit, with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. We are to effect change wherever we go. We are not to assimilate into the Babylonian system, the evil system of this world, and we're not to also isolate ourselves. Instead, he says, you will build houses, plant vineyards, amen? You will raise families. You will pray for the peace of that city. And as you do so, then you also will enjoy the peace of it, even as God has called us, amen? And Romans 13, I believe it is, to pray for all of those who are in authority. Whether we agree with them or not, we need to pray for them. We need to pray, amen, because the peace, amen, really will come through the people of God. Amen. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You and I are the ones that are to affect the change, amen. We can't change anybody. We can't change people, but we can affect them because we're salt and light, and we've been sprinkled into the dark places, amen. There's times when I haven't wanted to be where I've been. God, just let me be around Christian people all the time, amen, where life is easy. I shared this morning, I worked in a job for 9 years, and all I heard was profanity and anti-God and all this, and I lived in this environment, and I kept saying, God, get me out of here. God, send me to a place where I'll be surrounded with Christians. Then I can be a good Christian there. Send me to the Bible Belt or something. They need to get saved down there too, you know. And you know what? God says, when I'm done, then you'll move. There's a process I'm going to take you through. You're going to learn to overcome in this situation. You're going to learn of my faithfulness. You're going to learn that my grace is enough for you to overcome. You don't have to assimilate into that thing. You don't have to be like them. You're going to love them. You're going to bless them, and you're going to be an example to them. And they're going to see me and you because you're not compromising. You're not selling out. And I don't want you to isolate yourself and be a holier than thou. Are you hearing me? He didn't call us to go to some monastery. He wants his church, his people, to represent him. To be like Jesus on the earth. All of us to be like Jesus. All of us to be like Jesus. Jesus ate and drank with sinners. Amen. But he knew who he was. He knew who his Father was. He knew that God had him. Amen. His Father had him. Amen. And he was going to be there until his time was up. Amen. We don't have to fear man. We don't have to fear what's going to happen to us. You're not going to live a day longer than God decides. Come on, 11 of the 12 disciples, they died martyr's death. They couldn't kill John. They tried to kill John. They couldn't kill him. Why? Because God says, not until I say so. So what does that mean for me? It means that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Whether I live unto Him. If I die, I die unto Him. No matter what, I belong to Him. I'm in the palm of my Father's hand. Hey, come on, He's got me covered. Amen? If God decides that He's going to take His hand off, it's going to be that things will be better at the end. There are many who did not choose even to be rescued from martyrdom because they knew they would have a better resurrection. God, send us out in the spirit of Elijah. Give us boldness, God, that we will not assimilate into Babylon. You know what God wanted Israel to do in Babylon? He wanted them to be the example of Himself, to be a representative of heaven, to be His ambassadors, so that Babylon would be assimilated into the kingdom of God. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the people who are in Babylon, amen, who don't realize they're in darkness. Amen. Has anybody beside myself been in a place where you didn't realize you were in darkness? Until God turned the light on, you say, whoa. Man, I see myself now and I don't like what I'm seeing. But that's a good thing. Because Jesus said, you'll come to me, then I'll take care of that. I went to the cross for you. I took care of it for you already. You can go free. Confess, renounce, forsake your sin, take up your cross, follow me. Hook up with me, yoke up with me. We're going to do this thing together. You're not going to be alone. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Wherever you find yourself, you're going to know that the greater one is with you. You just need to trust me. You need to depend on me. You need to call on me. You need to be prayed up. Amen. And then the world will see. And so God doesn't always take us out of situations that we're in, amen, because He has a purpose for you being where you're at even right now. Sometimes it's because we disobeyed God and we didn't listen to His voice, yes. But often we're in the perfect will of God, and even as Joseph was in the perfect will of God and had had favor upon his life and he had been given promises by God, Joseph, the first thing that happens to him is he's thrown into a pit and he's sold into slavery. Are you hearing this today? He had the favor of God in his life, and all of a sudden bad things are happening to somebody who didn't deserve it. He was simply rejoicing in the promise of God, and his brothers didn't like it. There was some jealousy. Do you know sometimes people are going to attack you and I because they're jealous? They know there's something different about us. Amen? And they get jealous. Do you know we should make people jealous in a good way? Come on, they should be jealous in a good way. Hey, I didn't do it. It's all Jesus. Would you like to meet Jesus? What I have, you can have too. He went to the cross for you too. Amen. He didn't look at me and say, I like you a little better. No, He loves the world. He's not willing that anyone should perish. He wants people that are in this present world system to be assimilated into His kingdom, not the other way around. What we've been witnessing in America is the church assimilating into the Babylonian system instead. Trying to win them by being like them. Folks, you'll never win anybody to Jesus unless you walk like Jesus. And if you walk like Jesus, some people are going to hate you. They're not going to like you. Get over it. Make up your mind. I'm going to live for Jesus. What really matters is that I please my Father. Jesus said, I don't come to serve myself. Amen. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to serve my Father. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. For the joy set before Him. For the latter end would be better for Jesus than it was during His time here, His short time here on the earth. Do you understand that God wants to exalt us? God wants us to reign with Him. God wants to bless us more than we want to be blessed. God does want to anoint His people for greater things. And we have to be willing to say yes to the process, yes to the will of God, yes that God has it under control. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I've never been in this place before. But God's on the throne. God is with me. God is for me. Just like Jesus promised. I don't believe Jesus ever told a lie. If He says, I'll never leave you, then He meant it. He's going to come back too. So what did God said? He says, first of all, pray for the peace of the city, verse 7. Amen. For in its peace, you will have peace. But then I want you to hear this, please. God warns them about the false prophets. Right after that. Now, what were the false prophets saying? He said, oh, this is just a blip on the radar screen. It's just going to be a little thing, and it's just a quiz, and it'll be over shortly. God says, I didn't send them. They're lying to you. Don't listen to those who lie. And he said, don't even listen to the dreams that you dreamed, the dreams and the plans that you had for you, because I know the thoughts that I have for you. He didn't say, I know the thoughts that you have for you. I know the thoughts that I have for you. Plans that are good. Amen. God's good. And even though Joseph went through so much in his life, the persecution, the rejection, prison time, whatever he went through, God is still good through it all. God was going to raise him up to be number two in the land. He didn't see it at the time. He didn't probably know what was going on. God doesn't want us to isolate ourselves. If we're light, folks, we need to be where it's dark. Personally, I want to be in a place where it's dark. I'm serious. Because that's where the fruit's at. That's where there's the greatest light. Amen? We shine the brightest in the night. What is God saying? He wants you to light up the night. He says, don't let the night encroach upon you. You light up the night. Come on, it only takes one switch, amen, of God's power, of God's glory, to expel the darkness. Turn on the light. Turn on to Jesus. That was the thing, right, in the Jesus movement. Turn on to Jesus. He told them to build houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, eat their fruit. In other words, be where you're at. Amen? Don't be aloof. Don't stand apart. Don't, you know, in the sense that you don't associate with people who are non-Christians. You know, I can tell you, folks, that there's been too many times when people have been dissed. They've been disrespected. They've been, you know, looked down upon by Christians. Because they didn't know God, or because they weren't living right. Aren't you glad that somebody loved us enough to talk to us, to tell us the truth when we weren't living right? There's nothing worse than a conceited, snobbish Christian. Do you know what that means? It means they haven't got a grip or an understanding of how defiled they are apart from Him. And sometimes, you know, we need to get the self-righteous need to have a wake-up call and let God turn the light on and reveal just how unrighteous your righteousness is. Your righteousness is not you. It's not your good works. It's Him who makes us righteous. That's why we say, Lord, clothe me, fill me, saturate me, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for your flesh. Walk in Him. Put on the garment. Amen. Of praise. Now, Luke 17:20. Now, when he was asked, Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, let's take a look at this other example to try to get a little clarity on that. The Samaritan woman at the well said, our fathers worshipped on this mountain. Remember, Jesus had met the Samaritan woman, the half-breed at the well, right? You all know the story. Jesus paid attention to her. Jesus loved on her. Jesus didn't cast her out. He went right after her. She was the assignment that the Father had given him. And he was talking about living water as she was talking about natural water. And our fathers worshipped on this mountain, she said. And you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. What is he saying? It's not over here. It's not over there. It's not in some holy place or some shrine or some mountain top. Are you hearing me? You don't have to go to Mecca. You don't have to go to Salt Lake City. Amen. You need to come to Jesus. Come to him. Heaven is in your heart. Heaven is Jesus dwelling within us. Amen. The hope of glory. It's not a geographic location. This is a building. It's a synagogue. That's what it was. It was a building where they met. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the body of Christ. We are God's people, God's temple. Amen. And the kingdom of heaven is not with observation. People are running over here. They're running over there. Are you hearing me? Amen. Looking for something. And God is saying, you need to come. Because I'm looking for those who are going to worship me in spirit. The temple of the Holy Spirit is this body right here. And in this temple, there is a holy place. It's called your heart. That's where we meet and commune with God. That's where we hear his voice. That's where we see his face. That's where he reveals himself to us. That's the place where we can go and find refuge. That's the place where we can find peace. When everything on the outside and all around us is crumbling, there is a place of refuge, a place of sanctuary in the Spirit of the living God. He is our hope. He is our life. He's our hope of glory. And so sometimes, folks, we want to escape the situation we find ourselves in. And what God is saying is, I want you to bloom where you're planted. Bloom right there where you find yourself. Be light, be salt in that situation. Because I want the people of this world, amen, who once I was them, to also come to a saving knowledge of Jesus, to be born of his Spirit, to become a citizen of heaven. So God's saying, don't isolate yourself from the world. And whatever you do, don't assimilate into the world system. Instead, I want you to dwell in me and I in you. I want you to abide in me. I want you to worship me in spirit and in truth. I want you to pray in the Holy Ghost. I want you to build up your spirit, man. Amen. So that when you walk into a place, the kingdom of heaven is going to be evident. There's going to be oozing out of you the love of God in every place. We are the fragrance of life. Amen. To those who are perishing, God wants us to be the light, to be the salt. Don't try to escape and run away from every test and every problem that you have. Sometimes we try to rebuke it or cast it out or run away from it. And God is saying, no, not until the process is finished. Oh, it's tough. There's been times when I've wanted something instantaneously. God, I want this done now. I want this fixed now. And God says, in my time, I make all things beautiful in my time. It's not in your time. Did you mean what you said when you gave your life to me? Did you really give your life to me? Then why do we try to take it back? The hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers, verse 23, will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. And you know, Phil, I grabbed the hold of what you had shared. Because really, this has been the message. But you know, it takes us, it's sometimes it takes a while, I know it does for me, to wrap myself or my head around some of the things that God is trying to reveal to me. You know? It's kind of like a baby trying to eat a piece of meat when you've only been on milk, and all of a sudden it's like this new thing. It's like, I mean, there's just certain things I hear sometimes. I'm like, I don't get it. Well, I'm just not ready for it yet. That's all. All of us are still growing, I assume. We're in the process. And so when God knows that we're ready for it, he will release us into that destiny, into that purpose that he has for us. But what he's doing is he's teaching us how to reign. We're in the dressing room of eternity. We are in a place often that is not comfortable, where we don't want to be, where it seems like all hell is breaking loose against us. But what God is doing is he's building up our spiritual muscles. He's making us tough in the spirit. Are you hearing me? Amen. He's taking us through boot camp in the spirit, so that when we get on the battlefield, amen, and the real wars that lay ahead, we're going to be ready for it. We'll be able to go beyond being a parade soldier to being a combat soldier, because it's the combat soldiers that make the difference on the battlefield. Amen. And so God is equipping us. He's preparing us because he wants us to rule and to reign with him. We're in training for reigning. Is heaven in our heart tonight? If heaven is in my heart, that means that Christ is in me, right? Have we been like so many, even of Israel, who began to sell out and to assimilate into the culture of that day? Are you hearing me? Into the pagan practices? Because it was easier to conform than to live a consecrated, separated life unto the Lord. Are you hearing me? Or are we on the other side of that, where we live in isolationism, when we isolate ourselves from anybody that's not a Christian? There's times when God's going to insist that you're going to be in a situation where you're going to be the only Christian in that situation. Why? Because you are the salt and you are the light. And God wants you to be strong in him. God will make us the head and not the tail. If you stand up for Jesus, if we stand up for Jesus, Jesus will stand up for us. If we stand up for Jesus, he will stand up for us. People may not like you because you follow Jesus. They may even hate you. But I'll tell you what, they will respect you. Because they will see a greater power for one who can stand for their convictions, for what they believe in. Amen? And not conform, not bow down to their gods, little g's. Because we stand up for the big G, amen? We serve the Most High God, El Elyon, the God of gods. He is with us. He is for us. And even the pagans, they look, at the time of Israel, they look, and even today, well, my God is great, or my gods are great, because right now I'm in prosperity. Here Israel is in bondage, and they're saying, God, how can we rejoice, and how can we make your name great when we're living as paupers, in a sense, in this foreign land, at least in the eyes of the people, but not in the eyes of God. They are the apple of God's eye. God has his eye on him. And the day is coming when they indeed will reign with him, just like you and I. Amen. You may be despised and rejected. You may be acquainted with grief. You may have to go through some opposition from this world. But if you stand strong with Jesus, you stand up for Jesus, the day is coming when God will exalt you. And he says, you will reign with me. And he's coming to reign over all the earth. My God is coming. My Jesus is coming. He's coming, folks. He's coming. He's coming because he said he's coming. He's coming in an hour when you think not. Many have fallen asleep. Many have fallen away. Many have been assimilated into Babylon. It's time for the church to rise up and said, we are going to be salt and light. We are going to be the forerunners of Jesus. We're going to go in the spirit of Elijah. We're going to say, prepare the way of the Lord. Make us pass straight a highway for our God. Stand up for Jesus and he'll stand up in you. He says, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father and the holy angels. But if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. Amen. Come on, just say, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus is my Lord.
Jesus is my Lord.
Do it again.
Jesus is my Lord.
Now you say that to people that don't know Jesus. Because he wants them, amen, to be part of his kingdom too. If they don't want to listen, go on to the next one, because God has his sheep. He has his people. He has those who are out there that are open, that are hungry, just like you and I were. Amen. We were desperate. And God, I need help and I don't know where to turn. Maybe I'll try this Jesus thing. God got a hold of me in a radical way, you know. I wasn't just a little dab will do you kind of experience. It was like, whammo. Oh, am I happy? Am I thankful now? I'm glad that God made me miserable. Because I would have never known his goodness. I would have never tasted unless I'd been brought to the place where I got desperate and say, God, I need help. Help me. I want to know you, Lord. I don't want to just hear about you, know about you. I don't want to just watch my brother and sister get blessed. I want to be blessed too. I want to be like those happy people in that weird orange church. Pretty orange, thank you. I like you. It stands out, thank you. Yes. There was grace in that comment. We are to live as lights in the darkness. Heaven is in our hearts if we're in Christ. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Build yourself up every day. Amen. Stay connected. Worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Throughout your day. Be in the Word of God. Get the light of God's Word. Amen. Get direction so that that which is out of the way can be made straight. Amen. Because Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. We want to follow Jesus. Amen. Keeping our eyes upon Him. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. We don't want to become a casualty of Babylon. We want to be influencers. We want to be salt and light in our community. And so as we walk close with God, we will represent Him the right way. Amen. People will see the reality of the kingdom of God, that it is at hand. It is among you right now. We will go and we'll do wonders in His name. Amen. We'll cast out demons. We'll heal the sick. We'll raise the dead. God wants His people to walk closely with Him. Amen. And we can't be full of Jesus if we're full of ourselves. So let's just divorce ourselves right now. Get ourselves out of the way and say, God, I want you. I want you to reign. I want you to lead. I've made a mess of my life, and I know that you're smarter than me, so I'm going with you. Hallelujah. I'm going with you, Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.